Thank you for braving the 40-degree weather being here this morning. It's very impressive. I was walking out onto our street this morning. A few of us were coming to help shovel out the 130 Jackson building. And I put my foot down on what I thought was slush in the road. And it was not slush in the road. It was ice. And so, I mean, I didn't just go down. I went both feet up in the air, down on your hip down. That's what I did. So, yes, that's... And at my age, let's be honest, that's a real risk. All right? That's a real risk. Well, what we wanted to do is we wanted to have Matt and Jamie Jones come forward. Matt and Jamie are two of the equippers. They're two of the leaders with our New Life congregation. And as you will probably be able to tell, Jamie is pregnant. So there you go. That's right. And they, when they were in the process of finding out the gender of their child, which is an extremely fun, exciting time, they got some tough news. And so I wanted them to be able to share. And then what I want us to do is I want us to pray for them right after they share. And so let's let them tell you kind of what's going on, and then we're going to pray for them. Thanks.
Thanks for pointing out that I'm pregnant. And it's not just the Carol Lee donuts. It's that too. But well, so as Jim said, we went in a couple of weeks ago for, they call it the anatomy scan. They do the ultrasound. They make sure all the fingers and toes are there. You find out the gender. We're having a girl. We're very excited about that. So yay. but when they were doing that scan, they also saw that there's a problem with our baby's heart. And without getting into too much detail, there's kind of a spectrum of heart defects that people can have, from one end where you might have it and never know for your entire life, and the other end with this thing called hypoplastic left heart syndrome. That's kind of the other end of the spectrum, and that's what our baby has. So when we got that news, it went from super giddy, excited, like we were literally just giggling over the fact that we're having this girl, and I don't know anything about girly things, but I was just excited that, you know, I get to learn. And so it went from that, though, to this just kind of shock. It's not something you expect to find out. You know, it's a pretty rare thing. And so we were surprised, to say the least. And that was a hard day for us. Since then, we've gone to I don't know how many different doctors and gotten a lot more information, which has been scary but really good because we can kind of understand what's going on now a little better. But I think at this point, we're really just trying to trust God, trying to believe that he's going to do what's best for us and for our child, and that, you know, of course, our prayer is for healing. We would love to have a miraculous healing and to, you know, go through this whole process of the doctor saying all these things are wrong, and then, you know, God changes that. But that might not be what he wants, and so we're praying for us to trust him and you know, to be okay with however this works out. The great thing about modern medicine is that there are surgeries that they'll be able to do to help our little girl. 30 years ago, that wasn't the case. So 30 years ago, had this problem happened, she just wouldn't be able to survive, and that was kind of the way it was. But now they can do a few surgeries. She'll have one right after she's born within a couple of days. And then she'll have another one at 4 to 6 months, and then another one at about 3 years old. So that's kind of the plan of action, medically speaking. But we would really appreciate your prayers for her healing, and just for, you know, no other complications to come up. As of right now, she's otherwise healthy. She's a good size. You know, everything else looks good. It's just the heart. So we're praying that that continues to be the case. And then we would love your prayers for us, too. It's a tough spot to be in. Kind of, especially now, just sort of having to wait and not really know exactly how things are going to play out. So, and one other cool thing that has happened, I think, right before we went to see some doctors at the UVA Children's Hospital, I just said UVA in this room, so sorry, I know. for heart surgeries, UVA is a great place to be. So we went there to see some doctors, and a friend of ours was with us, and she prayed for us before we went in. And she was praying, you know, thinking, like, a lot of people hate hospitals. We don't enjoy hospitals. We don't, and nobody likes going to the doctor, you know. And so she prayed that God would help take a place that can be really scary and stressful and sad for some people, and that he would send his spirit before us and send his spirit with us and help change the atmosphere of that hospital for us so that our experience was less that way and so that we could help make that place a little bit warmer and that God's spirit would be present with us as we interacted with doctors and things too. And God very much answered that prayer. It was really cool, really cool. That it just felt different. I don't know. I don't really know how to explain it except that our interactions with the doctors and everything were just warm and good. Even though the news wasn't, great, we still had a really kind of spirit-filled experience there in the midst of that. So pray for those kinds of things to continue, that that God will continue to send his spirit with us and be right alongside with us as we go through whatever comes next.
I got nothing.
You sure, Matt?
I'm sure.
Well, these guys are they're good friends. They're an incredible blessing through what they do at New Life. And we're just, as soon as, we heard and we got a chance to talk about it, we just wanted to take some time and pray. And so what I'd like to do is ask our staff and leaders, if you could just come on forward and let's just gather around them. The way that we approach prayer here is that we believe that God really wants to do God-sized, even supernatural things, that those are not strange. And we also recognize that he doesn't do them as many times as we would prefer. And so what we do is we live in the tension of those two realities. Sometimes what people will do in order to avoid that tension is they'll stop asking God to do things. And that's simply not what we're told to do in the scripture. We are told to come boldly to his throne. We are told to ask for the things that we want. We're told to just kind of go right into that. Wow, we have two leaders in this church. That is amazing. Now, staff, and if you're a staff or leader, come on down. Let's see. Where are you? Where are you? There we go. Yes, that's right. There we go. I wasn't clear. That's on me. I'm sorry. I'm new at this, guys. This is only my 20th year. Okay, so let's just have, what we want to do is we just want to have a few people pray. So when you pray, just pray loudly, and then I'll close us off after a couple people do. But let's just ask God to do everything that we want him to do.
We're going to be diving into chapter 12 this morning, and these next couple chapters of 1 Corinthians. I'm Crystal, by the way, for those that don't know me. Sorry. Just jump right into the fact that I'm almost well. I'm Crystal. I'm on staff here with NLCF. I'm excited to be here with you guys this morning. I wasn't able to come to church last week, so it's even just good to be out of the house. But to have the privilege to be able to stand with you, to learn with you, to worship with you is really very much that thing. It is a privilege. And why don't we just pray? Can we do that? Father, I do praise you for this morning. God, I thank you for just these moments when we consider life as a whole. God, these are just moments on Sundays where we come together as your people. God, we come together as a community and like David said, as a family. To stand before you, God, to just open ourselves to you, God, and say whatever you want to do, Lord, this is your space. I am your person, and you are my God, and whatever you want to do, Lord, I pray that you would move and help me to see where you're moving, because sometimes I miss it. God, give me the sensitivity. Lord, we come this morning to worship you. Come because we love you, we desire to follow you, Lord, and we mess up a lot. And so it's necessary for us to come back together and to be realigned, Lord, for where you are and where we need to be in line with that. God, would you open up our ears this morning? Would you help us to hear the things that are unspoken? God, would you help us to hear the things that you want to speak to us that I just haven't prepared for? Father, would you take your word and would you breathe on it? Father, that you would open our eyes and that we would glean a greater understanding of you because of your word. And God, that we would respond in worship. We would respond in faith and in trust and truth. God, thank you for being here. You are already here. Help us to see just where you're moving. Give us greater faith and eyes to see. Amen. So we're going to be moving into kind of this this unit of Paul's letter that sort of comes as a collective unit. We're moving into chapters 12 through 14. And in these chapters, Paul is dealing with how the church deals with itself. And particularly in the areas of worship and how the church interacts as a community together. So this is a good thing for us to be talking about together because, you know, ideally, at least, you know, 5 minutes of every service, we're interacting, grabbing donuts, talking about snow, all that kind of stuff. So Paul is addressing here, how does this happen? What is this supposed to look like? And this week and next week are going to go really closely together because Paul is dealing with the reality of how do gifts from the Holy Spirit affect things? Okay, this might be a new sort of thinking for some of us in here, spiritual gifts. And it certainly was kind of a thing that the Corinthians were like, okay, Paul, what do we do with this? And so Paul said, all right, guys, it's okay. Calm down. Let's talk about this. We'll work it out. We'll figure it out. So these next 2 weeks are going to go closely together and you're going to want to pay attention to them because it's going to be awesome. So let's go ahead and open our Bibles if you have it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If not, it's going to be up here. I didn't get many slides in this week, but I got the scriptures, so we're good to go. All right, let's start with verse 1. Now, this is Paul speaking. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, not followers of Christ, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. So this seems pretty straightforward, right? I mean, Paul is saying, so there are these spiritual gifts, and I want you to be knowledgeable about how to figure out whether they are coming from the Holy Spirit or some other sort of inspiration. Because remember, Corinthians, my church, there was a time that you were so eager for direction, you started to think that something that wasn't real was. But now you have something. You have the Holy Spirit. So don't be ignorant. He says, so as these things come, as these kind of spiritual inspirations come, there's a fairly decisive test that I'm going to show you that will allow you to very quickly know whether a message or a sign or a gesture is coming from Christ. And the people of Corinth were actually kind of used to these spiritually inspired actions. I think sometimes it feels like in this day and age, we can feel that spiritually inspired movements or motions are like, I don't know what that is. But they were actually pretty common back then. You know, we've mentioned before the cultic phenomena that were a part of their previous worship to Aphrodite, to Dionysus. Lots of dirty stuff going on there. But they were used to these supernatural prophecies and people speaking in foreign tongues, these sort of inspired moments that were part of their cultic worship. And there were even Stoic philosophers that were standing on the corner, standing on their pillars of knowledge, that were leading people astray. And I think part of it is there wasn't any value behind these things. I think they thought that there was. And people use their knowledge. People use these grand gestures and these inspired spiritual actions at times to draw attention to themselves. I'm getting a lot of fantasy sort of television playing in my head right now. Is anybody else getting that? Okay. Nobody. That's great. I'm just going to keep watching. But people use them as methods to bring attention to themselves and to show how great they are, or even to show how mysterious they could be. And when someone is mysterious, it kind of piques your interest, right? It's like you just want to stop, and you want to observe, and you want to investigate, excuse me, to see what's behind what you don't understand. I mean, that's why people are keeping up with the Kardashians. Thanks. But the Corinthians had followed down these trails of inspiration to pretty much a dead end. These mute idols had nothing for them. So Paul is saying, guys, you need to be smart about this, okay? Remember that you kind of walked down this trail before. So before we walk too far down this trail, let's stop where we are and figure out, okay, which direction am I taking? What am I following here? Because even in the church, there would be these moments that were difficult to understand or hard to explain. I mean, we're told in the book of Acts, Acts 2, that when the Holy Spirit came, people began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So it's not that these inspired moments were simply of a mystic nature or a fantasy television show nature. But there was a needed distinction in order to discern between the two, to decipher whether this inspiration came from God or whether it didn't come from God. And Paul needed to help the Corinthians with how do they know now if one of these moments or characteristics come from the Lord or if it's just another person putting themselves out there and not really knowing kind of what's backing it up or even putting themselves on display. So he gave them a test, and it's a pretty simple one. He kind of took this broad spectrum, okay, and said, you can be fairly certain to know if you ask somebody, hey, do you follow Jesus? And they say, curse you, Jesus. That probably means that there's not the Holy Spirit in them. Because Jesus already said that a divided house is not going to stand. And if they say Jesus is Lord, you can be fairly certain that they do have the Holy Spirit. Because as Paul says, nobody can say Jesus is Lord unless it comes from the Holy Spirit. So there's this, just this initial test. Is it from God? Is it not from God? Do they follow Jesus? Do they not follow Jesus? Are they cursing Jesus? Are they saying Jesus is Lord? Because spiritual gifts won't come from people who haven't confessed Jesus is Lord, because that response is rooted in the gospel. Because the Holy Spirit comes to people once they've acknowledged their brokenness and have accepted and proclaimed Jesus as their Savior. I mean, we've submitted our lives to Him because of the fact that this holy God, this God who was sent apart from us, He sent His Son to earth in order to restore His people back to Himself. And every person and every bit of creation was intended to be in relationship with God. But because of our sinful acts, it separated us from Him. So when God sent His Son Jesus, it set into motion this new way for us to be fully reunited with our Creator. And when I say fully reunited, I mean there is no barrier. There is nothing that's keeping us from Him. To be fully reunited with Him means to be completely joined together. And Jesus took on our brokenness, all of our sin, and it died with Him on the cross. And so when Jesus overcame death and he returned to life, he gave us the grace to be made new again too. And so when we take him on as our king, we are saved. And we are filled with the Holy Spirit who does that very thing. He seals us, closes us off and says, this is mine. I got you. And he transforms us. And part of that renewing process comes through these spiritual gifts. I probably shouldn't have closed my Bible. All right, verse 4. I really shouldn't have closed my Bible. Oh, here we go. Okay. It says that there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. And so we have this test to see whether the expression of a gift is from the Holy Spirit or not. And now we're moving to see that there is not just one type of gift. There are all kinds of gift, but the same Spirit, and the same person giving them. And so the Greek word that Paul uses here, that spiritual gift comes from, is translated from the word charisma. I'm not talking about our razzle-dazzle, fireworks in the sky sort of charisma. The word that Paul uses here means a gift of grace, or the things given to us by God. The expression of these gifts, or charis, is actually a concrete materialization of God's divine grace. It means that it is a showing of God's grace to us. Because for Paul, the archetypal charisma was the gracious act of Christ on the cross. And so everything that comes from this overarching charisma, this gift of grace, is an overflow of that grace to us. And so to know that not everyone is going to speak in a foreign tongue in order to prove that they're a follower of Jesus. So we can't expect it to be the same across the board, but we can know that it comes from the same source. And he goes on to say, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And the reason that these gifts vary is because God's character is so vast. He is good. He is creative. He is adventurous. He is just. He is faithful and courageous already. I don't know. It's still a little cloudy up here, but the spiritual gifts vary because God's character is dynamic. And they are meant to be used for the common good. That is their purpose. The character of these charismas is for the benefit of others, enabled by divine power. You see, the character of divine grace in Christ is fully recognized when the recipient becomes a vehicle of that same grace to others. I don't know if you caught that, so it's up there. But I'm going to repeat it. Slow down a little bit. The character, the way it shows up, the manifestation of divine grace in Christ, is fully recognized when the recipient, who's us, becomes a vehicle of that same grace to others. Saying that God's grace is grace in its fullness all by itself. But when it comes to us here being the community, being the body, being the church, being people who are living outside of Colonial Hall on a daily basis, the way that we show grace to others, that is full recognition of the grace of Jesus and the grace of God. His character takes on this body when we act in grace to others. Read verse 7. Now to each one, every single person in this room who is a follower of Jesus, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. You guys noticing a trend here? To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of those said tongues. All of these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. All these gifts are indicators of the Spirit's presence in somebody's life. And this isn't even all of them. Paul mentions even more gifts in Romans 12 and Ephesians 4. In Ephesians 4, we have evangelist, pastor, prophet, teacher, and apostle. And so for those of us that have the Holy Spirit in us, we have one or more of these spiritual gifts. And when I read through this, you know, the fact that to some he gives wisdom, to another the message of knowledge, another faith. You know, I'm not saying that someone is unwise or ignorant without the Spirit. We know tons of people. I mean, think about where we are. We are in academia. We are in this university smart kind of town. So it's not that someone is unwise or ignorant without the Spirit, but the Spirit gives a deeper wisdom and a deeper knowledge that comes out from more than just our brains or our guts. It's this thing that starts at our core. I'm just imagining the core right here. It starts at our core and it wells up and it fills us and it pours out of us. That is what a spiritual gift is like. It's just undeniable. Like, it's the grace that is given to us as our identity that stems from our identity in Christ. But we must always come back to this, that even with all of these different gifts, it's still all about the one and the same Spirit that gives them. You know, thinking about verse 11 where he says, all these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. So it's not about the actual gift. It's about the one who gives them. He is the one who gives them out. He is the one who determines the strength of the gift. He is the one who decides who gets what. And it can even be that the same gift is given to two different people, and it looks completely different. It's as he determines. And we don't get these gifts from the Spirit to show off our gifts and our skills and how rad we are. You know, it's not to make one person feel proud or to make one person feel left out. It's not to say, oh, I wish I could sing up there like Daniel does. Daniel's so dreamy. I just had to do it. But it's not about putting ourselves on display. Right, Daniel? Right. And it's not even to say, man, I really wish that I could welcome somebody walking through the doors like that person does. And it's not to say, I'm the best welcomer ever and you are going to feel so welcome. But we are given charismas, these gifts of grace, to build up and to encourage the church, to serve one another, to be greater as a whole than we could ever find ourselves being as individuals. I think about it this way. How many of you have ever been a part of a band or an orchestra? Raise your hands. Look at all you talented folk. Jim playing the trombone. just going to put it out there. I played the trumpet. Just wanted to toot my own horn. Okay, I'm a mom making dad jokes. I'm sorry. Okay, so for those of you that haven't, how many of you have been to a symphony or a musical performance? Raise your hands. Concert, something like that. Okay. If you've ever been a part of a band or have seen musicians coming together, you know that there are many instruments. There's the flute, there's the oboe, which I love, violin, and then my personal favorite, the cello. Such a rich, deep sound. And each instrument has its own unique voice, okay? And actually, many instruments are highlighted by different genres of music or in different settings. So say there's a bunch of musicians and they're coming together to be a part of a symphony. We have the trumpets coming with the notion that they're just going to come and play some sweet jazz music. I gave a trumpet impression at home, and Robbie's like, don't do that. So I'm not, but I'm really tempted. Okay, so the trumpets are coming. They're going to play some sweet jazz music. And then the violins come, and they're like, I'm going to show these people my roots. Play some bluegrass. The flutes are coming in over here strong with Flight of the Butterfly. Just look it up. It's a flute song. And any bass player is going to go full on Geddy Lee. Okay? It's a rush. So all these pieces come together and they do just that. They are, some are handed music. It's not even the same music from one to the next. Some are handed the same music and they're just like, what's the point? Why not just show off my skill and my real strengths? I'm going to show people what I got. Okay? Can you imagine all that coming together? I mean, jazz music, Flight of the Butterfly, some Geddy Lee. It's going to be a hot mess. But what if they were handed the same piece of music and taught that the greatest musicians know when they are supposed to play and know when they are supposed to support the sound around them? And they learn that they sound even better as a collective unit, as a united sound. And they take that on and they begin to play. This is where I close my eyes. They begin to play and the music fills every nook and cranny. And I'm talking about even more than the space between our ears. This music elicits a response of something that is calling to a space deeper in you than you ever realized would be known by the voice of this sound. I'm going to be honest. There have been moments where I have been sitting in a symphonic performance and I'm literally brought to tears because the music filling the air around me is drawing up this nostalgia for something that is unfamiliar and yet completely known at the same time. It's like I'm experiencing a movement that I was made for in the first place, yet I didn't even know that I was meant to be a part of at all. And what if we think about it this way? God is our conductor. He is the one who handed out each instrument to each one of us as he determined was best. He trained us how to use our instruments. And not only is he the teacher, he is the composer of this music. And he hand wrote every note on that sheet of music. He knows every single note. He knows every single part. He knows the movements, the small sections, and he knows the whole piece. And he has given each instrument its voice at the perfect times in the music. And the closer we come to following the conductor and to being in time and in sync with our conductor, the better we're able to understand and to use our instruments. And so we become more aligned with this grandeur of his vision. And as we do that, we're playing our music. It's amazing. Subconsciously, we are thinking, we are reminding one another that we are a valuable part of the whole. Spiritual gifts are for the common good, both in the body and through the body. And if we have already submitted to the Holy Spirit because of the greatest charisma God gave, the gift of salvation through the cross and resurrection, we can let go of this cultural narrative of I want to do what I want with my gifts because they're mine, because I know how to use it best, because it's my voice, it reflects on me. Gosh, that gets kind of old after a while. And we can submit to the deeper truth that God is building us as a collective unit, that these are gifts that he distributed to the church as he saw fit. And he's written the part, all the parts of how they fit together. They are given to build and to serve one another, both in the church and through the church on the daily as we are outside of Colonial Hall, just as he determined. And because of the greatest gift of grace that God gave us, we get to be that gift of grace to everyone else. And I think that is a pretty incredible invitation to be a part of. So what do we do with this? What do we do with spiritual gifts? This is not up on the slide. So write these down. First, reflect on how you serve in the church. What is your heart behind it? This is kind of the heart check moment. What is your heart behind it? Is it because you do desire to serve the people around you? It brings you the greatest joy to set out a plate of donuts because you know that there's going to be conversation happening around it. You know that people are going to be able to connect after being snowed in yesterday around a plate of donuts, okay? Are you serving even out of your strengths, feeling like, I'm really good at this? There's nothing wrong with feeling like, I'm pretty good at this. That's just an acknowledgement of the fact that the Holy Spirit gave you something to go for. Are you serving because you like it, you enjoy it, you feel like it's a strength? Or are you serving so that you can be like, I want people to tell me that I'm pretty awesome and I give the best hugs, or that without me singing on a Sunday, the angelic choirs would have no idea what to do. Okay? What is your heart behind it? Are you even serving in the church? Maybe you're not. Maybe you don't know what to do. And so that takes us to our next point. If you aren't, take this info card. Okay? Give it the one over. There are so many ways to get connected, to get involved, to serve, to encourage the people around you. You know, I think about things like journalism. One of the things that we desire to do most, we feel like God is just moving. We feel like God is answering prayer. And so we want to tell people about it. So this idea of journalism, let's get stories out on our webpage. Let's get stories out on Facebook. If you are somebody who is a wordsmith, this might be right up your alley. Okay, please take this. Give it the one over. Check some things off. If you're like, I have no idea what to do, but I want to give it a shot, that's a start. Go in some direction. Okay? They're for the common good. They're not for us to hoard for ourselves. They're for the betterment of everybody, because we are better as a collective unit than we are as we stand alone. The third thing to do is connect with an engage group. probably don't see how that directly correlates. But this week we're going to be going more in depth about discovering your spiritual gifts, talking about them. What does it look like? What do I think about them? Have I ever interacted with spiritual gifts? Are they weird? Okay? Let's get together as a group and talk about them and see, what is my role in the church? How do I live out this grace that God has given me? The important thing is that we aren't just doing because we're supposed to. We serve out of our charismas, our gifts of grace, so that we can extend this grace to others. So it doesn't end here. If you remember when I first started speaking, I mentioned that this week and next week are going to go really closely hand in hand. Okay, Jim's going to be teaching about how these spiritual gifts function as we look at how we handle spiritual gifts as the church in the midst of our worship, our community. So if you have any questions, write it down. I'm not saying I gave a thorough run through of everything. But if you have any questions, let's talk about it. If you have any response, let's talk about it. We are given these spiritual gifts, these gifts of grace, to be a manifestation of God's divine grace to us. And if God's divine grace to us is so amazing and so incredible and so undeserved, what makes us think that we have any right to hold it to ourselves? I just think we just need to get on the ground moving. And for those of us that are, great, keep going. Let's be gathering the people around us and keep moving forward. Keep being the church and extending grace. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. Lord, even when it just comes down to why we're even here. Lord, the beauty of your church, the beauty of this new reality that we have because of the fact that you took up the cross for our sake. And you made us whole. You made us right. You provided the way for us to know you. And God, you are calling us, charging us to be the way for those around us to know you as well. God, sometimes we just need that encouragement. Even if we are in the church, we need encouragement, Lord, that you're just bigger. And you're present and you're faithful. God, help us to just have the wisdom to discern what's from you and what's not. Help us to have the grace and, Lord, the fire under us to be that grace for others. It's not something for us to hold up and to keep for ourselves. God, it is far too good for that. God, just be teaching us in between and Father, that we would, like I said, that we would respond out of faith and respond with action, not because we're mechanical persons, but because we are responding to a good God. Amen.